Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperatives that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build the global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number one on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Go to usliftingus.com. You can reach the ULU community through the members-only portal. When you register for the ULU community, please use the same name you used when you signed up to join ULU. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of ULU. This evening's topic is a breakdown of racism in the U.S., and the elite's control of the world. Peace, Brother Shibaka. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, greetings and peace to you, Sister Q. I am doing well, and I hope that you are doing the same.
Yes, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Brother Shibaka, your topic seems to suggest that we haven't broken down racism in this country enough, and that the racism in this country might be tied to global domination by whites. Is that the, am I getting it right?
Yeah, thank you, Sister Q, for that question. And for some, you are very, very much correct. Some people have broken it down because we lack the resources to be able to transmit, and because we lack the resources to educate our youth, this is why we don't see our response to what we say is racism. Really what I'm talking about is really slavery. And what I mean by that, we know what happened, over centuries ago, how we were captured, imprisoned, and then brought here and enslaved. And then after the Civil War ended, we thought that everything was humpty-dory, all right? They gave us the 13th Amendment, which is supposed to be the amendment that ended slavery and involuntary servitude. But I want you to listen to this this white boy's account of slavery and racism, and then how he put it all together. Now, you might say, Shibaka, why are you quoting this white boy? Well, unfortunately, among some of us, the white boy's ice is colder than black. I know some of us, and probably most of us on this call, have heard this before, but I want to make sure, we're going to hear it again, and how he breaks it down, and then we'll have a conversation. All right, let me start it, and you can listen.
Okay. I saw this video trending last week, and it's a TikTok of a white guy by the name of Danny Collins, and he was breaking down systemic and institutional racism that still exists in 2023. Watch this.
A lot of people ask me, what was my aha moment? What made me change my perspective? And it's when I saw this. So a black person in the United States during the Jim Crow era faced second-class citizenship, disenfranchisement, barriers to voting, barriers to education, barriers to employment, and barriers to housing. Then we had the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which stated we can no longer do any of this. We can no longer discriminate based on race. So in 2023, what is the only group of people that we can legally discriminate against? We can legally relegate to second-class citizenship, create barriers to voting, barriers to education, barriers to employment, barriers to housing. If you answer convicted felon, you are absolutely correct. In 2023, the convicted felon is the only group of people that we can legally do all this to. Now, do you believe it's a coincidence that one in three black males carry this label as convicted felon as opposed to one in 17 white males? If you answered yes to that question, let's take a look at what's happened since the dismantling of the Jim Crow laws. We've had a 700% increase in our prison population. We've gone from 300,000 inmates to as high as 2.3 million. Now, I do believe we're back down to about 1.8 million today. We have the Law and Order agenda, which was an increase in police spending and a decrease in school funding, which created the school-to-prison pipeline. We also have the War on Drugs, which we now know was a war on people. We have the 1986 Anti-Drug Abuse Act, and we have the 1994 Crime Bill. Now, the 86 Anti-Drug Abuse Act differentiated between rock cocaine and powder cocaine, which we know predominantly impacted the black community. And the 94 Crime Bill created harsher sentences, lengthier sentences, and minimum mandatories. We also know that black people make up 53% of all exonerations, 69% of exonerations for drug crimes, and they're 7 times more likely to be wrongly convicted. So when I seen all of this, I realized that racism in this country never ended. We have a systemic issue.
So as you saw and heard him say, you know, that was my aha moment. That's when I realized that I had to change my position and, you know, concede that, yeah, racism is still alive even to this date, even to this date.
Yeah, Sister Q, let me comment a little bit on that. Apparently, Danny Collins, and we're not talking about a very well-educated and white boy who happens to be very fluent in statistics, research, and what have you. I'm looking at his video right now, and he's got about, you know, he's almost as dark as I am with tattoos. All right. So
okay.
I wanted to give you an idea. Now, I don't know where he came from. All right. And a lot of the brothers and sisters out there probably have similar kind of statistics. All right. So we know that ever since 1865, you know, with the founding of the 13th Amendment, it was ratified in December 6th of 1865. And what it essentially says is this: neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to the U.S. jurisdiction. That just means any colonies that the United States has, it shall not engage in direct slavery unless you commit a crime, and a felony at that, which would cause you to be in prison. All right, so we know that ever since after that, the Southern state, the antebellum South, all right, begin to inaugurate, you know, various convict leasing laws and vagrancy laws in order to capture that population, which because slavery had ended and therefore we were not engaged in work and we didn't have yet the resources, as some did, to escape to the northern states because of the persecution we were experiencing in the South. So what happened, they were picked up, you know, all right, by the legal system, jail, had their rights diminished, and a lot of them went and worked for the same landowner, master class, that they had prior to the ending of slavery. So that just to go to show you that there is that. Now, that destabilized because the people that they were picking up were youth. And these youth, are, as opposed to being educated and therefore being educated, being able to provide for themselves, were not able to provide for themselves. Women, on the other hand, all right, had to suffer as a consequence of the separation of their male partners, all right, and particularly those whom they who fathered their children. And so this is the constant phenomena that we have. And then when we look at the life of a lot of our people in the ghetto stretches today, we see that. We witness that. We see what Danny Collins said. We see we see drugs, and we're arrested for minor possession of drugs. And then once you get that felony charge, that's all it is. You have really no rights because you can't vote. You got to take that. You got to even take that felony charge, even though you may serve your time. You're supposed to be able to, when you file an application for employment, you must also indicate that you serve time. All right, so we can see the systemic problem that exists that makes it extremely difficult for us. So I'm saying that according to Danny Collins, at least whoever he is, I don't know him, all right, at least he made a tic-tac video which said that we are still experiencing racism and nothing has really changed except maybe how it is applied. But it's applied disproportionately, definitely, the criminal acts that you see on black people than white folks. Now, we do see that white folks are also involved because, number one, they're the largest population, in the country.
Right.
And they suffer from many of the degradation. This is the lower classes that we have, but he says 1 in 17 get caught up in their penal system, and, you know, where it's 1 in 3 for us. So you can see the impact that that might have on us. So I wanted to start out with that and ask you this question, Sister Q, and the family members, and please call in and let's discuss this. Do you think since 1865, all right, when they ratified the 13th Amendment, and then we look at 2023 now, that there was a plan not to really give us any freedom, but a plan to exploit, to continuously exploit us? What do you think happened? Do you think it was just happenstance that all of a sudden we find ourselves in this, you know, school-to-prison pipeline? What do you think?
Right. No, it is a definite plan. It's no happenstance, no circumstance, no coincidence. It's a deliberate, you know, they have their, 20-year plans, 30-year plans, what they want society to look like. So, you know, it looks exactly like what they want it to look like. And we are not, it's like keep us down at all costs. So
the key is you go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, I was just going to say it's keep us down at all costs. So that's the number one objective, and everything that happens happens to feed into that.
I agree wholeheartedly with that, and not only to keep us down at all costs, if it's systematic, then that means it was a plan. And if there was a plan, mm-hmm. all right, and it affected us at least nationally in this country, then that plan had to be the result of collaboration with other people that look like themselves. In other words, the European, all right? So there has to be a plan. So if it's systemic, we don't have any input into changing stuff that happens in this country. And people say, well, you go to the polls and you elect so-and-so. We go to the polls because we're tricked, and we don't understand electoral politics anyway, majority of us. All right, don't understand electoral
right.
policies anyway. All right, so I'm saying that we were tricked. And so if it's systemic, then that means it's institutionalized. All right, if it's institutionalized, mm-hmm. then some people institution that particular practice and behavior. So we're not talking about anything that just happened coincidentally. We're talking about stuff that's planned, and it seems like the planner has this advent, you know, just after slavery or probably during slavery or when they were thinking about ending it. Sister Q, I'd like to play something else if we can conclude that things look like they were planned and it looked like there were other mm-hmm. peoples involved in the planning, which means that it was concocted to make sure that institutionally it would always be affecting a particular group or class of people, then let's see how this looks as we begin to look at things exterior to the U.S., worldwide,
okay.
globally. I want to play and share with the family this Indian dude by the name of Dr. Shiva, all right, Ayadore. He's an MIT PhD graduate, and he's from India. He lives here. But I want you to listen very carefully for a few minutes, his attempt to describe what he sees, and then I want our family to remember our little brief discussion on how we say the systemic racism, how it continues for, you know, over a century and a half, and at the same time to keep black folks down and other folks up. And in between is that little layer of folks who we might call lieutenants. All right, so listen to Dr. Shiva.
This is something called swarm intelligence. If you watch all those birds flying together, not any one of them is in control. They move together as a unit. They're closely knit. They're quote-unquote telepathic, but they move with a singular goal. The goal of the elites here is power, profit, and control. This is the goal. So if we look at it from a control system, what are the inputs they're sending into this system to achieve their goals? And what is the output that they see? So if you're an elite over here and you're looking at those 8 billion people, how do you know you're achieving your goal? Are people getting fat, meaning unhealthy? Are people getting dumb, which means ignorance? Are people happy, which means are they being entertained?
Let me stop it right here. I'm looking at a chart in which he's writing on. Apparently what he is saying, all right, you have an elite, all right, and the elite's goal is to control this 8 billion people. That's a lot of people to control, all right? And so what he's saying, they provide input into this elite group. And then, all right, as scientists, you know, what is the output? And the output, does it conform to what they expect in order to sustain control over the 8 billion people? And so he says, first of all, they're overweight, which means they're sick, all right? He says they're ignorant, which means they've been kept, information has been kept from them, all right? He's saying they've been entertained, and you know, you know, you go to our community, all right? You can almost go in almost any household, all right, during the season, you know, when football or basketball is playing, you know how entertained we are, but the brothers particularly, all right, at that game. We're being entertained, all right? And then he goes on to say that we are divided. But let me play a little bit more so he can enlighten us a little bit more from his assessment.
People divided, they isolated, disconnected. They don't want people here connecting with each other or people feeling helpless. Are people looking to the elite to save them? They like that. They like when people here are looking to them, the enemy here, for their saviors. They really love that. They want people to be disorganized, and they definitely want people to be helpless. This is what they want. If you do not want to unite among people here and find who your own leaders are from below, they are quite happy. They're achieving their goals.
I'm going to stop you here. You notice he said, all right, prevention of leaders from emerging from the masses. In other words, you notice our leaders are selected for us. Okay, as opposed to leader coming out to the persons who share the same kind of pain, all right, and is able to, you know, give some God or whatever to galvanize and resist, all right. So he's saying the leadership is very attuned to what's happening, all right. Now he's going to go into how they are attuned to what's happening and then how they control what's happening.
Now, how do they do this? You're going to realize it's not any one group. It's an interconnected, tightly knit group. They're all closely interconnected. In fact, they all go to the same restaurant. They have all their kids going to the same equestrian shows. They all shop at the same place. They all go to the same parties. You're not part of that. So who are these people? And what are the institutions of power that they have? Well, first of all, they have academia, Harvard, Oxford, Yale, MIT, IIT in India, the top 100 university presidents. These people are on boards of companies, but it's about 100 people who run the major universities in the world. NGOs, or nonprofits. These are people who run these huge nonprofit organizations like the Clinton Global Initiative, WEF, World Economic Forum, Center for Foreign Relations. And there's many other institutions like these, but it's the CEOs of these institutions. And these guys know each other. They definitely work together. The next thing you have is you have governments, U.S. senators, prime ministers of countries, advisors to government, think tanks, the Belfer School at Harvard, the Stanford Internet Observatory. They created the censorship infrastructure. This includes CIA, right? Intelligence organizations. And again, all these people know each other. They're interconnected. They're swarmed. They're tightly knit. They're not divided like these people over here. They're not disconnected. They're highly interconnected. So these people are focused on power. But then you also have a whole other people, the CEOs of the global 2,000 companies, other big organizations like big pharma companies, Pfizer, big agriculture companies like Syngenta, big investment companies, J.P. Morgan. You put Deutsche Bank here. You put Epstein down here. Okay, he was involved in all this. They also have the Fed, the central banks. All these people party together. When I say party together, I mean literally they party together.
Now, according to him, and I looked at a couple documents that he mentioned. All right, what you notice is that particularly when he was talking about this group of people who's meant to sustain power, and that's going up to your academia, who basically are training the future leaders, you know, and these are specific institutions. You know, they're not HBCUs. Right. These are specific institutions that are trained, all right, to exert power, you know, globally. and they each do it well. Now, you remember earlier he talked about when he came on about these swarms of birds. In other words, they all seem to be going in the same direction. They're communicating. They all know what they're doing. He says there's not necessarily a leadership, according to him, you know, but they are communicating. He said telepathic. I don't know how they – he knows that, but I guess he's done some research. My research hasn't shown that they're telepathic communication, but you and I and everybody have seen these birds come across, and they are in unison, all right? And they are directional, and they have a plan to go in certain directions. Fish, we know that salmon, all right, will always try to go back to the place where it was spawned, all right? And, they could be thousands of miles away, all right? But they know how to get back there. All right, so there is something innately inside of them which allows them to communicate externally, all right, to be able to go back where they have. We lost that capability because we have been separated from our spiritual awareness and knowledge and focus on our intellect, all right? And our intellect separates us, in my opinion, you know, from our spiritual essence. Consequently, you know, we focus on materialism and a whole bunch of other stuff. So as we concentrate on those things, we lose other things. All right, so he's saying that these people, in my opinion, by observing what they see in nature, notice that in order for them to control, they got to work together. They can create the illusion that they may be in conflict. For an example, Trump, you know, may appear to be in conflict with Biden, but these are lieutenants who work for the system, all right? They compete in order to confuse us, you know, but they might go to the same country club, as far as we know. You know, they pretend probably that they don't. But anyway, all of them is creating the illusion, but the illusion is for us and not for them. The reality is for them because they plan the reality. So let me let him go on and talk a little bit more.
Absolute close-knit friends. And, in fact, the CEO of a Global 2000 company will easily move to one of the investment companies down here. If you look at Target, big companies like Anheuser-Busch and Exxon, you'll find that at one point they were in one of these investment companies, and these investment companies sit on the board of these companies, and they shuffle back and forth. So this is...
You can see that if you go to the website of the World Economic Forum, I think it's www.wef.org. I can't, you know, but you can just put the World Economic Forum into your search engine and go there. You know, it's got a list of companies. All right, it's got a list of companies. You know, he talked about the Global 2000, you know, the 2,000 largest companies in the world. They all belong to that. And check out who the CEOs of those companies are. And if you can get some documentation, look at who's on the board. You find out that they're on other boards of these same companies.
I just
did a brief preliminary research. I mean, I didn't do an extensive research like he probably done. I just did it just to confirm what I thought. All right. So these people sit on the same board, and they plan. All right. The only people who are not aware of that are the most of us, most of that 8 billion people that he talked about. All right, now he talked about the people who's controlling the power, which is these institutions and governments. Now he's talking about those people who control profit. These are the businesses now, the investment banks, all right? And now he's going to talk about those who are responsible for the global from power to the economics, and now the propaganda, all right? You're going to talk about that because that creates the images that we see, which are then manipulated.
All right. It's all about making money, right? These people are about making the dollar. These people are all about power. This is profit. And then fundamentally, you have control. Hollywood over here. This includes celebrities. You have your agents, Hollywood agents, like Ari Emanuel, as I talked about, who's a guy who controls most of Hollywood. He controls Worldwide Wrestling Federation, the MMA, et cetera. Media companies. This includes Disney, Viacom. This includes now Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. These are large media companies. Google, you can put in there also. You also have big news stations. CNN, Fox. And combined with this, now we have another group, social media influencers. This is like Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, these characters who have come in, but they do not exist without support from these guys. If you don't...
All right, now what he's saying, these, you know, you have these, you know, these talk shows on some of these media platforms, all right, and they seem to, you know, affect and is and receive sponsorship by the media, and they seem to impact, you know, millions of people, all right. Well, they're given that platform, and they're given the money to be able to, all right, create the kind of image that they want. Now, these people, some of them, all right, these are not necessarily the power brokers, but they are in line to sustain. All right, they get huge amounts of money. All right, and he talks about in this network here that he's describing, we're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars going around. So that's a lot of money to buy a lot of people. And these media people that he's talked about, all right, are the people that he says are there to create the illusion, to create, all right, the entertainment. All right, we're being entertained. And because of how the image that they create, we believe them. They come on with a nice suit and tie on. They got a nice background. And they got interviews and all this other kind of stuff. We believe them. They sound logical. Mm-hmm. Well, they sound logical, but if we're not really that educated, anything sound logical that seems to have a little bit more information than we do. Let me let the man continue for a second.
This overnight, a bunch of social media influencers have come out of nowhere. And these people are created by these people. So when you look at this, the academics, the NGOs, the government, the think tanks, the investment companies, the Fed, the big pharma, the CEOs, the Hollywood celebrities, media, social media influencers, and the news companies, and you can even take the top 10 of each one of these, they all know each other, everyone. And in order to manipulate these people, they need front men to manipulate these people with policies. Because what comes out are policies. These are the inputs they put into the system, propaganda. They feed these people purposely, people who they tell them are going to save them, like the Elon Musks or Trump or the Kennedys. Now, who are the people part of the swarm that does that? They have the obvious establishment. And these people are like the Clintons or the McConnells or the Obamas or the Bushes or the Queen of England. Typically, people say, oh, yeah, those guys are part of the establishment. But one of the things we teach at Truth Freedom Health, the most insidious people are what I call the not-so-obvious establishment. These are the people that are created to make sure that the 8 billion people look to the elites to save them. Trump, he's got a golden toilet, Mar-a-Lago, Kennedy's, completely bogus family. You can look at historically people like Gandhi or people like MLK. These people all came and were endorsed by the swarm.
Now, notice he mentioned MLK.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I heard.
Remember the last year of Dr. King's life, when he was given a speech, and he knew that he was going to be killed, and he gave that speech. And he talked about how the media had applauded him and put him up on a pedestal when he was talking about, you know, I have a dream, little white kid, little black kid walking down our human hand, all right? But when he came out against the poverty inflicted, all right, and then the poverty created as a consequence of, when I say Al, I'm talking about the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, he was heavily criticized, all right? So he began to remove himself from the control of the media that was using him to control us, all right? Because we adored him. He exemplified honesty, and he was forthright. He went up against the system, the same with Malcolm, who was assassinated a few years earlier. All right? These people went against the system, even though the system had threw money in it. Remember now, his organization was receiving a lot of money, and these was from white folks. Our first inclination is that they're receiving this money because they want to do good. But their move, I mean, according to him, their intent is to sustain control of the 8 billion people or X number of people, all right, in order to satisfy them. And that's satisfying what he says is first, all right, to sustain the power that's necessary, all right, to create an avenue for profit, and from that profit, all right, to be able to extend control over the 8 billion people. Now, we're not talking about a lot of people that have this, but they are in control. They are in control of institutions, and it's institutions that control us, all right? Not just a person.
Yeah.
It's the person all right, who is organized, all right, and focused, all right, and has plans. Like you said, they have 30-year plans. They probably got longer than that, because if the plan in 1865 was really to free the slaves, and, you know, in 2023, we find out a significant portion of our people are still enslaved or are touched by slavery, and we're still being disenfranchised, and nothing really has changed, you know, except the people that have been paid. But those people who have been paid, I'm talking about the people who got, you know, tremendous amount of income, you know, they're still subjected to the abuses of racial policies, all right, that happens in this country. You know, I could have a suit and tie on. I could go out my house, and the police will still stop me, even though I might be driving a Jaguar with a suit and tie on, because
exactly.
I'm driving
because
a Jaguar with a suit and tie
on. That's what I was
going
to say.
Right. Yeah. I'm the wrong
yeah.
color to
be
driving
a
Jaguar
dealer.
With
you
a suit and tie
something.
On.
Yeah.
I must be
doing something.
Doing that's
something.
Right. I must be doing something. Right. And so this is essentially what this Indian dude is saying. And then, you know, he teaches this. He has his
mm-hmm.
website. You go to his website. You can take his courses. He'll teach you this. He can tell you where some of these families are. He can show you what kind of revenue, I mean, when I say revenue, wealth. Let's not talk about revenue. This is wealth that these people have,
mm-hmm.
all right, and then the institutions that they use to control large numbers and large populations of people. So let me let him finish up with his He's saying that the input that comes from this group is the policies, all right, that affect the 8 billion. It's also the propaganda that affects parts or most of the 8 billion. And the false heroes and sheroes that is created as a consequence of, again, dumping this money into the system in order to control people. Let's hear what he has to say or explain a little bit further.
Okay.
People do not exist. They live in Malibu. They live in the places of the elites. And these people are the ones that are used to send the inputs of this controller. In system science, these are the controllers. These are the people controlling the inputs that go in. And remember, their goal is to make sure people are in the state of division, disconnection, helplessness in particular. They're observing all this. They have their sensors. And one of the features that they notice is that as long as people are in dysfunction and disease, mentally, physically, emotionally, they're happy. Well, what are those diseases these days? We see obesity. We see endocrine disruption, men with low testosterone, and people questioning their sexuality. We also...
Did you hear that?
All right.
Sister
yeah.
Q.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. He's describing what is happening. These are the outputs, all right, that is received
mm-hmm.
by the 8 billion. And this is saying that, good, I got people confused, so that means that my system is working. All right.
Exactly.
People with
yeah.
cancer,
yeah.
the world's population's life expectancy is going down. The United States is going this way. This is from 1980 to 2020. They like this. This is life expectancy. In fact, when they see dysfunction, you know what they do? They put another input in, which is normalize the dysfunction. Eat sugar as high fructose food. Well, over here, people have been literally getting fat. It's led to obesity, where they've been putting in foods that are affecting people's gut microbiome. This is what I call from policy to biology. People are getting worse and worse. They're actually making more money because the obesity now creates obesity drugs. The endocrine disruptors, let's talk about this. This will really explain what's going on with Bud Light. About 20 years ago, there was research done at the universities that clearly showed the use of restricted-use pesticides like atrazine and other chemicals in the atmosphere actually caused endocrine disruption, which could reduce male testosterone, which could also affect mammals where the sex organs can change. And this was done by the work of Tyrone Hayes. So if you're over here at a university and you find out one of your researchers discovered that, and you are playing golf with people over here, Syngenta is the one who produced atrazine. They're going to say, hey, man, we don't want this research coming out, because you have to understand something. The investment community here is investing in all of these companies. So if you're one of these large investment companies, you're moving trillions of dollars, $600 trillion, by the way, move through the economy every day. You, as one of the elites, managers of money, you're moving all this money. You know all of these people. You know the CEO of Target. You know the CEO of Anheuser-Busch. You know the CEO of Pfizer and Syngenta. And imagine that you see, wow, the stuff that we've been creating is causing sexual disruption changes.
Yeah, I want to stop there. He goes on and talk about a few more things, and I think that I believe you said that you had viewed the video also. Am I correct?
Yes, I not only viewed it, I put the video up on the Ulu community. So if people are interested in seeing the whole thing, they can go there and look for it.
Right, and that's important. I'm glad you did that. Hopefully our people would begin to look at that. And so we have to look at it a few times because some of the stuff that he talks about is unbelievable. You go to his website, he has a lot of data there that a lot of people don't go to, all right, because he doesn't have the resources to be able to do with a number of the organizations and institutions that he named earlier in his talk, all right. So, therefore, all this money, $600 trillion, I mean, it's hard to imagine $1 trillion, not 600 of them. All right. So we don't have that. Let me look at a couple key points and please comment on them. He says that, all right, you got eight. The objective is to control 8 billion people. All right. That's the objective. All right. Control 8 billion people. All right. And so their goal in order to do this is to create those institutions that can – all right, assert power, that can create profit, that's money, all right, and then those together will exhibit control over the 8 billion. Well, he then goes on to say, well, how do you know that you have effectively done what you or do what you've done to control them? Mm-hmm. And he says all you got to do is look at the output, okay? And so he says, are they diseased, all right? Overweight, it's interesting he talks about obesity because we know that's one of the number one things happening in the African-American community. We are obese.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
eat right food. Mm-hmm. We eat processed food, all right? And even the food that's in the ground is depleted a lot of times of particular nutrients, which our body needs in order to process us, keep us alive, all right? And they know this.
Right.
And so what they do, they put pesticides and herbicides over the plants, and then our body ingests those things once they're on the plant. So we're not getting nutrients from the plants, and at the same time, we're getting poison from the herbicide and the pesticides that is consumed in that. He says one of the reasons how they do this, all right, is that they put out policies. They use the government end of it to create policies of control. And nothing was made clearer to me, Sister Q, than the COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, nothing became clear to me of their success in COVID. I've seen all of the European countries, all right, follow suit. I even had videos of leaders of those European countries saying almost the same thing when they were making presentations to their people of why they had to assert certain mandates. They were saying almost the exact same thing. This is in Europe and Israel. As you begin to go south, there was a skepticism except for the infrastructure that may have been set. All right, there wasn't that much in terms of administering the inoculum or the so-called vaccine because the infrastructure didn't exist. And as a consequence of that, they weren't, and the people were a little suspicious because some of the people had experienced some of the experimentation that was done when Gates was there with his organization and was asked to leave when they found out some of the stuff that he was doing, particularly in Kenya and Nigeria. All right, which Nigeria, which has the largest population on the continent, a country that has the largest population on the continent. All right, so he says these are the signs. They're dysfunctional. You don't want to unite. And we know how hard it is. We're talking about, Sister Q, we got nationalists, you know. How easy is it to bring nationalists together? You tell me, how easy is it? We're only talking about a fraction. Yeah. We're only talking about a fraction of the black community. We can't bring nationalists together. Family, you heard what I'm saying. This man is saying that the elites out there, you know, they win when we don't unite. They win when we don't unite. They win when we fight among ourselves. Okay. All right? And so we have to counter that. All right. Let me stop here just in case anybody has a hand up and may want to talk.
Nobody has their hand up, but you mentioned that let's say the nationalist community, we have our little pockets and this, that, of even among those that have allegedly a common cause, we find things to nitpick about so that we are, again, disunited. However, what Dr. Shiva was saying about the not-so-obvious, what does he call it, the people that you think are in a opposition the establishment, the not-so-obvious establishment, I think he calls it, where the people you think they're not in the establishment based on what they're saying, but they are actually part of the establishment, and their job is to cause confusion. And I think that we have some of those in our midst as well. Even if they're not necessarily on the payroll, if you understand what I'm saying, the way their mind works, the information that they have, that they choose to go with, and their I want to say belligerence, you know, is my way. I've decided this is how we're going to do, so we have to do it this way, and all of these little confusion things, as you say, is that's the output that is desired by these people. And if you look at the what they call the elites, they may hate each other personally, but they got a plan. And so they are totally focused on the plan. And, you know, when they get together to figure out how they're going to make the plan work, that's the whole focus. When they get outside, they may not like each other too much. But when, you know, when they're working, they're working. And we let emotions cloud our work. I think that's the best way to say it.
Yeah, and I think that you said it right. I remember being at a lecture that Dr. John Henry Clark used to say. He says that the Democrat got together with the fascists and the communists. He says, we might have disagreements, but our objective is that the control must be one of us. All right. In other words, whatever disagreements you have, we'll have disagreements, but the control must be one of us. We don't let everybody control. And that's what we are. We're either Democrat, you know, we're fascist, as Hitler was, or we're communists, socialists, and what have you. We use their terminology. In fact, I've seen so much of the terminology used coming from, you know, because I was not mixed up in those camps, but I was at a distance. I could see how they operate. And they was copying anything from Lenin. They was copying anything from Mao Zedong and all that. And I'm saying, well, we got some black thinkers too. Why don't we go back there and find out what our thinkers was doing? And eventually we start talking about our value system coming out of the Nguza Saba that Dr. Maulana Karinga introduced, and then, of course, the Ma'at, virtues that came out of the 42 affirmations of innocence or negative confessions, as people would call them. And so, yeah, we have a lot of those. But we haven't identified is how do we put these into practice. In other words, how we put these into practice and communicate. You are clearly right. These people would hate each other's guts, but what's clear to them, they must sustain the control that they have over their particular sphere of influence by any means. They must sustain the control.
Absolutely.
Now, let me tell you how they – let me focus on a couple things that he said. Yeah, go
Brother
ahead.
Brother Chewbacca, right quick, before you ease into that, we have a hand up. So can we go
okay.
with the hand and then you take it?
Yeah, let's go with the hand.
You want to go. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 8912, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or question.
Yes, this is Brother Thurman calling from Richmond, and I thank you all for this outstanding information that we very, very much need. Brother Chewbacca, thank you so much. And just real quickly, I just want to mention to the family that what you bring in is extremely vital that we ingest this. And on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there's a short piece that says the elites aren't any one person or organization, but a swarm. And this short video explains that swarm, and we got to really delve into this swarm mentality because it applies to nature, you know, that applies to people also. And it's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, and I thank you, and I thank you, Sister Q, also. And this is by Dr. Shiva, and this will lead you to other information that he's got out there available to study and learn.
Thank you, Brother Thurman.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Thurman. I really appreciate that. And let me comment on something that you bring out and demonstrate to the people its importance. You used to always bring out and continue to bring out our need to control what we eat. And people might not look at that, you know, because they run into Kentucky Fried Chicken and getting those kind of things. Well, they can run to their neighborhood stores, too. We don't control those stores, so we don't know what they're doing. Everything is packaged. All right, we need to control our food supply. If you can't control your food supply and your water, all right, then you are at the mercy of those people who control. All right, and what you're going to do? You're going to say, "Well, I believe that they will treat us right." We have the highest death rate in the country. How are we going to believe that they're going to do the right thing? All right. And so we have to control, and that's got to be part of Ulu's plan. We have to, when we go after these businesses, we have to also go after these fields, all right? We have to go after this. We got to use the technology we have to sample the soil to see richness or lack of, and then we have to use our skills to determine how do we need to make that soil rich again, all right, to go into the food that we use when we harvest, all right, or plant and harvest, all right, we got to do that. We don't really think of doing that because we think of just we want to get jobs. Yeah, we want to get jobs, but in order to get jobs, you got to be well. You can't be, if you're sick, how soon are you going to stay on your job? Not very long, are you?
Exactly. Right.
And our people are sick. I mean, they're sick physically and psychologically. Psychologically from the confusion that they get from the propaganda that they throw from, and then, of course, what they put in the food, all right, that we have no control over. But there are certain things that are coming out. If we control our own production of food, then we know what's in the food. We know what we get from the seed, all right? And now all we need is the agricultural experts to say, all right, sample the soil. What is it? What's in there?
Mm.
Still pesticides in there? We need to remove that. Herbicides are still there. We need to remove that. And we need to come up with natural things in order to remove the pests, you know, that invades these plants that we eat. We have to do that, and we have to think that. And so that gets me to the point, and that is how do we, all right, reverse this? Now, remember now, the Europeans or the elites, as talked about by Dr. Shiva, all right, he says they are together, all right, they are organized, and their job is to create division among the 8 billion. Well, obviously, that means then among the 8 billion, we must become equally organized and united. Now, what better tool do we have than Ulu? Let me state this again, family, because I think that you listen to Ulu on the radio station. You don't look at their programs. You know, you don't go to the back office. You don't read. I want you to go to the back office. I want you to read the documents that are there, all right? We're creating what we call Ulu-based communities, small communities, all right, who are indoctrinated with information that allows them to be able to understand the power dynamics and economics of their community, all right, how things work, how things work. I and several other people, well, more than several other people, put together a document called the Long-Term Strategic Plan, which I'm going to share with Hulu, all right, with us to see that this is a plan we need to implement because the plan has a self-sustaining and self-sufficient by our own hands. We don't go to the European and ask him permission to do this. All right, we don't go to the Indian and ask him or her permission to do this. We do it ourselves, all right, and because we have within ourselves the skills that are necessary in order to do these things. So why do we need to go to anybody else? We're just as smart as anybody else. We're probably smarter. All right, we was here first. All right, we created the science that they use now, copied, and then lied to say that it came from them. So why do we need them? We really don't need them, all right? It's only in our mind that we think that we need them. As a consequence, the division takes place because we got those who say we need them and we got those who say not necessarily. All right, so there's a division there, okay? We have various religions in our community that says that everybody is God, kids or children, and some that says, well, Satan is around too. So there's a division there, all right? We got people who have acquired some wealth, and we got people who live in the hood who have acquired no wealth, all right? There's a division there. We have to find ways. The whole idea of the Ulu-based communities is to come together, all right, so that we can take a community that is stratified, all right, use our intellect because we are smart, all right, accumulate the resources because we can do that, all right, and make those resources work for us as opposed to taking $1.5 trillion and giving it away in 6 hours to somebody else. All right, this is what we have to do. And so, family, when you listen to this, you have to listen to this and say, Ulu is the solution because no other group is talking about organizing the way that we are. We are talking about organizing throughout not just the U.S., all right, but throughout the black world, all right? That takes just about every place, all right? So therefore, if the elites is trying to control this 8 billion people with the tools that they have, well, with the tools that we have, all right, we can begin to start to program to reduce and eliminate that control, all right, of us, all right? Because if we got Africa and the diaspora, we really don't need we don't need anything else.
Exactly.
All right. The rich, we don't need anything else. And so our focus, we don't have to capture 8 billion. All right. All we need to do is control of 2 billion. And we're okay. All right. Because everything will come to us anyway. Now, let me stop there, sister. I know that you had some comments you wanted to make.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying. And I think that what you brought to us this evening is very important for us to kind of marinate on, you know, that because I think most of us think things just happen, you know, everything is a coincidence. And we wouldn't even think that the people that control the money also control the laws, or that the people that make up the medications for us are in cahoots with the people that are doing something else. That it's a whole body, basically. That, and I would say that that's a concept they got from us. They got it from us, and they are using it against us while they teach us to be you know, separate, and I don't remember the other word I wanted to say, but rugged individualism. That's what they're teaching us, you know.
Rugged individualism. They have their own individual, but they do come collective because they have a focused mind, and that is to control. And let me quickly repeat. Again, how they control. They have the power, the profit, all right, and then the controller mechanism to do the the power thing, they set up the institution, educational institution, the government, and what have you, all right, which teaches the leaders mm-hmm. of the world, all right. That's the power, all right. And then you have the financial sector, the businesses, all right. That's go out and make mm-hmm. the money, all right, including the banks, which circulates the money, all right, and manage the money, all right, these investment firms, all right. And then you have those that create the propaganda, which is the vehicle that that confuses us, all right. Included in that is also they had the pharmaceuticals there, which poison us. And, of course, along with the cooperation that they have with the medical institution, all right, misdiagnosis, which is why one of the, I think it's what, third or fourth leading cause of death in this country was misdiagnosis from physicians. All right. And they don't mind that. Mm-hmm. They put those statistics out there, and they put them out there. You can see them. Okay, so they don't mind mm-hmm. that because they figure that the population is ignorant and they're not going to look for them anyway. All right, and the population that will look for them are too few and too few to make a difference. All right, but I think that we have to look at those things. All right, and then we have to deal with those things because they objective. They use every tool. I'll tell you one of the biggest tools, and I know it's controversial. It might get some pushback from brothers on Ulu and what have you. The social media is their linchpin in terms of being able to monitor what you're doing. The reason that they are ahead of us is because they know what we're doing. And we so freely do mm-hmm. that because it's so convenient to use these tools, all right? It's convenient. They get the information. In fact, they don't even have to analyze it. They got AI, and AI they got very sophisticatedly that they can make the analysis that it would take probably 10 analysts, over several months, all right, to put together. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't give this to AI, program AI. AI can make the analysis, give the recommendation and plans of action that you should do, all right, in a few minutes. All right, so they know everything that we're doing. We have to reduce at some point our obsess with using this. Not now, because we can use these as tools, but at some point we got to always know that these vehicles are being used to monitor our behavior and also to spread propaganda, all right, particularly in the mm-hmm. social media. So let me that's stop there, sure. Sister. I know that we're running out of time.
Oh, we have plenty of time. However, we want to thank you, Brother Strucker. That very, very good information that you brought for us tonight. But you always bring us good information. Thank you to everyone that joined us this evening. We want to invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Taller I become, the farther you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone, oh no. Something inside so strong. My voice, the louder I will sing. You hide behind walls of Jericho, Something inside.